false prophet. Revelation 13 had three major parts in it. One being the Antichrist, second being the false prophet, and the third being the mark of the beast. All three of them are found in Revelation chapter number 13. So tonight, we're going to look at the false prophet. We looked at the Antichrist 2 weeks ago, but tonight we're going to look at the false prophet. If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand. And Sister Christy will keep passing them out. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. Revelation 13, verse number 11, the Bible says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwelt therein to worship the first beast, who deadly wounded was healed. And he doeth great works, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Father, we love you and we thank you for this night. We thank you that you've allowed us to come to your house tonight. Lord, we've heard all over this room tonight prayer requests has been lifted up. Some that are in different clinics that is getting all kind of surgery. Lord, ones that are waiting on lung transplants. Lord, we pray for them tonight. Lord, the ones that's all over this room, the man that has the young man that's sick that needs a touch that Brother Eric talked about. Lord, I lift him up to you, Lord, tonight. Lord, they're just all over the room tonight. Lord, and I pray that you touch them real good. Lord, tonight we've had family inside this church that has lost loved ones this week, but Father, I pray tonight that you comfort them, you give them rest, you give them peace, Lord, throughout the rest of this week. Lord, I thank you for this night. I thank you for everyone that's in this room, and Lord, I pray tonight as we study a portion of your word, Lord, I pray you'd sit down amongst us in a mighty way. Father, I pray tonight your will be done. Lord, I pray you watch over us. Be with little Clyde tomorrow as he has tubes put in his ears. Lord, I pray you would touch him. I pray you'd move in a mighty way. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you. We glorify your name. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name we ask and do pray, and all of God's people said, amen. As we come tonight and we look at the false prophet, last week, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the Antichrist, but tonight we come looking at the false prophet. And tonight I want you to know as we study this, the false prophet is going to be a very powerful man. The Antichrist and the false prophet are two different men. They're not the same that comes on the scene. Even though they're going to run hand in hand, there'll be two different identities. The false prophet is going to be a very powerful man, and he will cause the world to worship the Antichrist. If you'll turn with me just a few moments here to Revelation chapter number 19 and verse number 20. I want to show you tonight where they have two different identities. And tonight in Revelation 19, 20, it makes it crystal clear that the Antichrist and the false prophet are real people. They are real people that are going to come on the scene, and they have a real destiny. So tonight in Revelation 19, 20, the Bible says, "And the beast was taken, which is the Antichrist, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. And these both," which means there are two, "these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." So tonight we know there are two identities. So we've looked at the Antichrist, and now we'll look at the false prophet. And so when we look at that false prophet tonight, I want you to look with me, if you will, at the power that the false prophet has to draw people. Hey, to draw people in. He is false. He's not real, but he still has power like you wouldn't believe. Did you know tonight that there's false prophets? Not this false prophet, but there's false prophets among us tonight. Did you know they draw crowds and they draw people in with all sorts of things tonight? The great wonders. He'll draw people by great wonders, if you will. He'll have the ability to heal the wound of the Antichrist. If you look with me in verse number 11, he says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon, and he exercised all the power that he had over the first beast before him. And he caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. This false prophet is going to have the ability to heal the Antichrist of that wound that he has in his head. He's going to have that ability to do that. What a great wonder that will be. And people are going to believe this lie that he is real, and they're going to believe all of that. But not only is he going to have the ability to do that with a great wonder, but he is going to have the ability in verse number 13, and he doth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven. He's going to have the opportunity and the ability to call fire down. If you remember tonight, one prophet in the Bible that called fire down was Elijah. Elijah called fire down, but he was a real prophet. He was a real prophet of God. But you know tonight, everything that God has, Satan has a counterfeit. He has a fake to show up and to see that. And tonight, I want you to know, when he calls that fire down, Elijah called fire down, but he was a real prophet. And tonight, when he calls this down, people are going to believe it. People are going to believe what's going on. In 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, in verse number 9, the Bible says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. He's going to be working right after Satan. Satan's going to be using him in a mighty way. And it says, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So when he comes on the scene, he's going to have great wonders. There's going to be things that this false prophet is going to be able to do. He's going to be able to call fire down. He's going to be able to heal, but he is fake tonight. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Because Satan is counterfeit tonight. He is a counterfeit. Everything that he does, everything that he gives, he tries to do opposite of what God does. I gave you three here to look at tonight, and I want to show you this, what the Lord is showing us in the Bible. You say, how do you know Satan is counterfeit? If you look there on your paper, Satan has always been against God the Father. Satan versus God the Father. That's the way it's always been. He always wants to take God's place. So we got Satan versus God the Father. 2 weeks ago, we had the Antichrist. And who does he try to be? He tries to be Jesus Christ, but he's not Jesus Christ. He's the Antichrist. He's a fake. But the false prophet tonight, he's false in what he does, but he's going against the Holy Spirit. He's going against the things of God. So he has the power to draw people, but he also has the power to deceive people. He can draw you, but he can also deceive you. Is that what not Satan does now in the world that we live in? You take a man of God or a child of God, the first thing he does before he ever tries to deceive you, he tries to draw you. He'll throw it out there. He'll hook, line, and sinker you. He'll start trying to reel you in. He'll start trying to pull you into himself. And when he gets you close enough, he'll deceive you with things of this world. You say, preacher, how does he do that? He has the power to deceive people by using miracles. He's going to heal the Antichrist, but by using moments in life that he has. You say, how do you know that tonight? I want to give you this. Not only miracles he'll deceive you with, but he'll also deceive you with moments that are in your life. Did you know tonight, as I got this wrote down here, Adam was not deceived. In the garden, Adam was not deceived. It was not Adam that was deceived in the garden. I wrote it down here for you. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. Amen. Most men that are deceived, they're not deceived. They know exactly what they're doing. When they start following and they start walking away from the thing God has called them to do, and they start walking in a different path, and they get away from the Word of God, and they get away from the will of God, and they get away from the call of God on their life, them men know exactly what they do. Hey, can I say tonight, women know what they're doing when they walk away. Oh, the Satan don't deceive them all that much. I want you to know that a lot of times it's by our own lust and by what we want in this life. But Adam was not deceived. He knew what he was doing. The woman is who was deceived there in the garden. 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 14, the Bible says, and Adam was not deceived. He was not deceived in what he did. He knew exactly what he was going to do. But the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Through his disobedience, the world was cursed. Through Adam's disobedience, the world was cursed at that moment in his life. And friends, can I say to you tonight, every bit of this is lining up because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. You and I tonight, you know why we must be saved? Because what happened in the Garden of Eden, when that relationship and that spirit was severed off and they're never no was more. There was no more connection between Adam and God. It had been severed off there. And there had to be the shedding of blood to reunite that spirit, reunite that relationship and that fellowship. It took that blood. And in our lives tonight, we are born sinners and doomed for a grave with Satan. Doomed with that tonight. But the blood of Jesus Christ, when you come to that age of accountability and you know what's right and wrong, not what mama and daddy says is right and wrong, but what the Holy Ghost convicts you of tonight, and you see that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, the only thing that will reunite that spirit back to God is the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says that tonight. It's the blood that reunites that back, puts that spirit back in fellowship with God tonight, because you were dead in your trespasses and sin. I was dead in my trespasses and sin, and the blood of Jesus Christ is what bought me back. I see that he don't only use miracles that we see. You know, a lot of people today are deceived with miracles. You know, Satan's working miracles even in the world we live in right now. If somebody sees a miracle, they give God the credit right off the bat. They give the Lord the credit right off the bat, even when it ain't got nothing to do with God or not even of God. Watch your TV. It ain't got nothing to do with God. It ain't nothing of God. It's satanic. And Satan's working miracles all over the world that we live in. He is a miracle-working Satan. He can do that. You want a miracle in your life? I want you to know, old Satan, he'd love to give you something that you can hold tangible to. He'd love to give you a moment in your life that you can hold tangible to. And he wants to give you a monument that you'll fall down and worship one day. Hey, can I say to you tonight, don't you worship no man. Don't you worship nobody but God himself. Amen. Jesus Christ. Don't get caught up in the things of this world. Don't get caught up with miracles. You know what? Tonight, if God never does a miracle in your life, saving you was a miracle. Amen? Saving you was a miracle by his grace. You say, well, I believe in God because the miracles that he wrought in my life. Hey, sometimes it may not be God pulling it in your life. Don't put it all on a miracle. Don't put it all on a moment. And don't put it all on a monument that you worship. I have a cross that hangs around my neck. It's under my shirt right now. It hangs around my neck. But I don't worship that cross that hangs around my neck. I worship the one that hung on that cross, who is Jesus Christ. Amen? So when I get to that tonight, I want you to get this. He uses monuments or images that is worshiped. And you know that in the world we live in, man. People worship monuments and they worship images. You can go over to Tuscaloosa and there's monuments in front of Bryant Denny out there. They're not to be worshiped. They're not to be worshipped. No man should have a monument made after him tonight. Listen to me tonight. There's only one God. Amen? There's only one man should be worshipped tonight, and his name is Christ Jesus. He uses monuments or images. He said, let's make an image. That's what he told them there. He said, we will make an image that they will worship in their life. Look what he says here in verse 14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. There's the miracles. He said he uses miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on earth that they should make an image. There's that monument. He said, we're going to make an image that you can worship. Do you remember when Moses come off the mount and they were down there worshiping that image, that golden calf? You remember what happened? That displeased God. That displeased God. God won't take second to nobody. He's a jealous God tonight. And tonight when we read this, we see that he uses monuments or images. And he said, let's make an image. One world religion is what Satan is wanting to do. And he is a liar, and he's wanting that done. Not everybody's got a steeple on a building as a Christian. Listen to me tonight. Not everybody's a church. And I hear this all the time. As long as you believe in God, you're good. As long as you believe in God, you're fine. As long as you believe in, well, who's God? What God are we talking about? Whose God are you talking about? Man, I was at a place the other day, and a man told me, here's what he told me. He said, listen, I may not believe in you, and I may not believe like you, but I believe in God. And me and him got talking. I said, well, I believe in the God. Now, here's the God I believe in. Jesus Christ is Lord. And God is his Father. That's the God I'm talking about. I'm not talking about some other God. I'm not talking about a foreign God. I'm not talking about Muhammad. Or I'm not talking about these. I'm not talking about them gods. I'm not talking about Baal. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, God Almighty. That's who I'm talking about tonight. So just not any religion will work, but the world wants it to come to a one-world religion where there's no division. There's nothing going on. And what you preach and what you teach at Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. People get offended by that tonight because it goes there against their religion. Folks, tonight I want you to know Jesus Christ is not a religion. He's a relationship tonight. He's a Father tonight. He's the one that saves you tonight, delivers you, and sets you free tonight, and gives you peace in your life. So they want you to believe that one world religion is going to work. Listen to me tonight. Don't you get caught up in that. Don't you get caught up in, hey, I want you to know denomination don't matter. This don't matter. It does matter at the end of the day. I'm just going to tell you, it does matter at the end of the day. If you throw everything out the door and you say, hey, God is God and that's all it is, if you don't label who's God you're talking about, you can be in trouble very quickly. Very quickly. Very quickly. You can mention the name of God all day long. On your money, if you got any in your billfold. I don't even think I got a penny in my billfold. But if you got any money in your billfold, it says, in God we trust. Do you think everybody's got that money in their billfold believes in the God that we're talking about tonight? No. They may tote it around that we trust them. Back of our cop car says, in God we trust. Places you go, it says, in God we trust. They're not talking about the same God we're talking about. It should be labeled about that God. It should be labeled about Jehovah God. But listen to me tonight. What about if it took off in God we trust and put in Jesus Christ we trust? That would be labeling it to the God that we trust. Amen. The other night we was playing ball up Sunday night uptown, and little Charlie Smith, she said, Brother BJ, we need jerseys made. And I said, jerseys made? She said, yeah, we play ball here. We need jerseys so we know different teams. And I said, well, what would you put on them jerseys? She said, well, on the back of one team, we'd put Jesus. And I said, okay. I said, what would you put on another? And she said, saves. I can't argue with her. You know what we need? We need jerseys. There's about 52 folks up there the other night. I don't know how we get that handled, but you know what I'm trying to say is Jesus saves. Where'd she get that from? She's been taught that. She's been taught that at home. She's been taught that in church. She's been taught that in her life. So tonight he uses monuments or images. Let's make an image. One world religion. Satan is a liar. John 8:44, the Bible says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. He won't tell you the truth. He'll lie to you. When he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and he's the father of it. I see tonight not only does he has the power to draw, I don't only see he has the power to deceive you tonight at this time in the Bible, but I also see he has the power to divide people with the mark. And I want to stop right here for just a moment, and I want to show you this, where he has the power to divide people with the mark. With the mark tonight. If you'll look with me tonight, I want to show you this. And going down verse 15, 16, 17, 18 here, he has the power to divide people with the mark tonight. There's people's lives that's been before this, that's been marked already, and you know that. They want to divide the church. They want to divide Christianity. They want to divide what you believe and what I believe. They are of a satanic attack, and they want nothing to do with the things of God. Can I say to you, when you get here in the Bible, he has the power to divide people with the mark. And look what he says tonight in verse number 15. And he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast. That's that monument that's made. That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small, great, rich, poor, free, and bond. All right. You say, well, I got plenty of money. I'll make it through it. You don't have plenty of money. Don't matter how much money you got. No matter who you are. When this time comes, your money is useless without the mark. Without this mark of the beast, that money will be useless. It'll be of no count. It'll be of no value. You won't be able to spend it. And when you get here, I don't know if you... Let me just move on. And he calls all both small, great, rich, and poor, free and bond to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. The power to divide people with the mark, number one, the mark is placed on the right hand or the forehead. Is where this is going to be placed, this mark. And you say, what is this mark? This mark is going to give the people the ability to buy, sell, trade, get medicine. Doctors will not be able to practice any medicine without this mark of the beast on that person. You'll go to the doctor, you'll be rejected. It don't matter who you are in the medical field, you'll have to reject them. You can't see them, you can't use them, you can't do nothing. You'll have to have that mark. It'll be like a one world currency, one world. And you say, what do you mean, preacher? How do you know that? Hey, we went to a ball game in Birmingham, Alabama, and we walked into watched the Birmingham Barons, and when we walked in, right there, I mean, huge plaster, and it said, this is a cashless venue. Can't use no cash there. There's no cash, only cards. Only cards. You said, preacher, that's just the times we're in. Yeah, we're getting closer to the end of times. It's getting into a one world. That cash is going to be of no value. Them things are going to be of no value. You're going to have a card. And everybody in this room has probably got a card, debit card, some kind of card that's got a chip in it right now in your pocket. If you don't, your wife may have one that's got a chip in that card right now. You say, preacher, that's just the world we live in. Yes, because it's getting closer to the end. And you won't have to worry about that being in your billfold because it'll be in your hand. It'll be on your forehead. This chip, this mark, whatever it's going to be, that's where it will be. And if you're going to buy, sell, trade, do anything, it'll be with that mark that you have. You say, well, I'm going to have plenty of money. Your money will be useless. You won't be able to use it. And you say, well, you're talking to the church. I know, and we're going to be raptured out. We're not going to go through this, but I want you to know about it anyway. You say, why do we study this? It's sort of put us wanting to tell people about Christ Jesus. So how close do you think we are? I think we're closer than we've ever been. I see that the mark is placed on the right hand or the forehead, what the Bible teaches, and that no man, in verse 17, when you receive this mark in the right hand or the forehead, but get this in verse 17, that no man might buy or sell. You can't buy, you can't sell, unless you have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So I see the mark is placed, but I see the purpose of that mark as well. I see that purpose of that mark. And the purpose of that mark is that you might buy or that you might sell. Also, it will show the worship of the Antichrist. It'll show whose you are. It'll show who you're affiliated with. It'll show who your allegiance is to. You say, well, if I don't get saved and I don't and I live and I get to this point in life, I'm mad enough, I'll be okay. I'll take it. No, you won't. No, you won't. You won't. You've done hurt. You're done in the dispensation age of grace. You'll be in trouble. Whew, man. Revelation 13, 17 says that number that's going to be there. But let me give you this. Not only is it where it's placed is in the right hand. He has the power to divide. He has the power in his life to do that. The mark is placed. The mark has its purpose. But the mark is also a personal number. Because the man, woman, boy, or girl that takes that mark is no longer their own. They've been bought by a price, but it's not by the blood of Jesus Christ. They've received something that they can't get off them. I was told today, and this made great sense. I was told today this, and this makes great sense. I was talking this riding down the road. Brandy's in the car with me. And here's what the man told me. He said, you know, when you get saved, God's going to call your name one day. Y'all believe that? God's going to call your name. When it's your time to go, he's going to call your name. But the man that ain't saved, he's going to call your number. See, you and I right now, I don't have a number. I have a name. He knows my name. Personally, he's my father. He knows my name. He knows my name. But I want you to think about this. That one that's lost, he's going to have a number that's going to be called one day. He's going to have a number. Because he's been numbered. Folks, tonight, man, when he told me I'm false, man, you're exactly right. No longer does God, there's not going to come a time, you've heard this old timer say this, there'll come a time your number's going to be up, you're going to be gone. No, no. If you're saved, your number ain't going to be up. Your name's going to be called. Your name's going to be called. What a day that's going to be. That your name's going to be called, and he's going to call you up. But for that one that's lost, he's not going to have a name called. You'll have a number called. Folks, tonight, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be numbered with the sand of the sea. I want to be named in the throne room of heaven. I don't want to have a big name. I don't want to have a boastful name. I just want it written up there. Amen. And I thank God tonight it is written up there in the blood of Jesus Christ. But I see tonight that name has a place. I see that tonight. And I see it's very personal. He said, if you got wisdom tonight, he said, I want you to count this number. In verse 18, I want you to count this number. He said, preacher, there ain't no way I'd take that. David Barnes is sitting there. Dolores, and they got a beautiful little grandbaby there. David Barnes, ain't nothing you wouldn't do with that grandbaby, are there? Not nothing. In fact, baby is hungry, you're going to find food. 1 o'clock in the morning, there's no milk nowhere. You're going to find that food somewhere, ain't you? There ain't a man in this room, if that baby's sitting there crying, hungry, or need to go to the hospital, that a man wouldn't step up and do what he had to do for that little baby right there. Folks, I'm going to tell you, that's how crooked Satan is. And I know after this sermon tonight, I'll have to face him the rest of the week, and he'll run his mouth, and he'll, she's over there, she's like, preach on something besides him. Get out of Revelation. We're going through stuff. But it's okay. He's got to be called out. You got to go through that. He's nothing but a liar. He's counterfeit. He won't do you right. Listen to me now. Don't you listen to him. Don't even pay him attention. God never calls you a loser. God will never tell you you're not worthy and you're unworthy and you're all that. If anything in your life is chewing in your ear saying you're unworthy, you're not fit, you're no good, that's not God. He don't do that. He tells you you're worthy, that you're the child of the King. He speaks good to you. He never speaks bad. He never speaks bad. My daughter, I'm telling you, if she's done something wrong, I don't speak bad to her and belittle her and cut her down. Oh, no, I may talk to her, but I don't cut her and tell her she's all this and belittle her down. No, what I do, I tell her, baby, you can do better now. I try to build her up. If you're around somebody who's always cutting you down, and just get away from that. But it's personal. And tonight, if you're a child of the King, this ought to be personal in your life because you've got loved ones. And I don't know how much longer we got, but I'm telling you what. That trumpet can't be long away. It can't be. It can't be. Brother Randy Dill sitting here tonight, was here Sunday morning. It can't be. I'm telling you, he come in here with a burden on his heart. God's burdening people. He's pulling on people. He's pulling on my heart. Anybody else in here tonight? God's pulled on your heart, wanting you to, hey, make sure it's right. Make sure I'm ready. Make sure. I want to be ready. Amen. I don't get ready when we go on vacation much. We take one suitcase. Ryder gets one corner, I get the other corner. Brandy, here's what Brandy says. She says, is that all you're going to wear all week long? I said, yeah. I said, they ain't got a washer and dryer. I said, when I go somewhere, I throw them in, wash and dry them, come back out, put them on. I have them there. She said, they're going to be in the same picture every time. I said, I don't care. I said, you ain't going to have two suits of clothes, all you're going to have. I said, yeah, that's all I'm going to have. And they'll have a whole wardrobe hung up. And she said, are you ready? Well, Chad, I'm ready. I don't want to anchor down in this world. I don't want to anchor down here. I don't want to be so tied to this world when he says, son, it's time to come, that you got to prize my hands off things to go. I want to know when he says it's time to go, I'm going. Right then. So I want to show you how personal it is right here before we close. Let me show you this, what he says here. And the Bible gives us wisdom to be able to do. In verse 18, here's what he said. He says, the mark is a personal number. He said, here's wisdom. Wisdom, knowledge. Here's what you need to know. Let him that hath understanding, and there's not a person in this room tonight that don't have understanding. Y'all all understand what I'm talking about. He said, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. He said, I want you to count it. I want you to count it. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, which is being 666 or 666. Do you know the sixth commandment is thou shall not kill? Exodus 20:13. You know what six is? Six is man's number. Six is man's number. Satan wants to make sure that he has rule over who? Man. You and I. Those who don't receive the mark, during this, those who do not receive that mark will experience physical death. There's no way around it. You'll be killed. They'll be killed. And those who receive the mark will experience spiritual death. Once that mark is there, there's no forgiveness. The number six also represents imperfection because it is one short of the number seven, which is perfection, or which is God's number. It's perfect. Once that individual receives that mark, there's no rest once the mark is received. So, preacher, are you sure? Revelation 14:11, once that mark is received, it's over. Bible. Look, Revelation 14:11. Revelation 14:11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest. They got no rest day or night. Who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever received the mark of his name. They've got no peace. They've got no rest. Folks, do you know tonight, people that die before this time in history, that die without Christ Jesus, they have no rest. Never. In hell, there is no rest there. There's nothing but torment. There's nothing but pain, suffering. There's nothing good there. Nothing. And tonight, man, I'm just so thankful tonight. If you're a Christian, man, you ought to be on shouting ground. That you're delivered from that. That you're delivered from that. The worst you go, this is it. Whatever you go through here, you won't go through nothing else. When you take your last breath, it's over with. You'll be in the presence of the Lord. I'm telling you, your spirit will be there. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more hurt. There'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more dementia. There'll be none of that there. None of that there. But for that one that dies without Christ Jesus, they've got nothing. Their best is here. Those that die without Christ Jesus, their best is here. Their best life is right here. Ever how they die mangled or whatever, that's how they'll spend eternity. You ever thought about that? Man, it's just something to be saved for. So tonight I want to leave you with this. Satan is out to draw folks to himself. He wants to deceive folks without a moment's notice. Can anybody give an amen right there? You'll hear something that you shouldn't have heard. You'll see something you shouldn't have seen. And old me right here for me, and I'll be the first to admit, you'll say something you shouldn't have said. Man, if I get that back. Y'all ever been there? I mean, today me and my wife was riding down the road, and I asked her, I said, baby? And she said, yeah, boy, she had on a black dress, been to a funeral. She just looked like she always does, beautiful. We was riding down there, we was eating some fries coming down the road. And I said, do you feel like we're drifting apart? She looked at me like, you idiot, what are you talking about? I said, do you feel like we're drifting apart? She's like, no, why? I said, well, you know, sometimes, you know, I say things and, you know, and she's like, no, I don't know. What are you trying to say? And I said, well, today we had a little incident. And she said, yeah, because you was telling me what to do. And I said, yeah. I said, so we good, right? She said, yeah, we good. He said, what was making you ask her that question? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. There's times in your life and there's times in my life you get to the place he wants to deceive you. He'll draw you in. He'll deceive you because he wants to destroy you. And listen to me now. There ain't nothing he wants to destroy more in this place right here than marriages. Nothing more. Nothing more. Nothing more. There's nothing more he wants to do in this place than to deceive you and destroy you. Can I share what you shared with me Sunday, brother, when you go about to leave? I'm going to share this and we'll go. I got Brother Lynn, and if I ever use your name, you don't want me to use it, come to me after the service, and I'll mark you off my knowledge list. I can't help it. Man, I love y'all. Y'all my family. And my life revolves around some stuff goes on in this place. You know what I'm saying? So I had Brother Lynn to build me a cross. Build me a cross, nice cross. Me and my wife and Ryder. Ryder says he done it, but me and my wife, Ryder and Kaylee went down there, concreted that thing in a cement in the ground, sturdied it up, leveled it up, had it perfect. And we said, we're going to put this down here in case somebody comes by and just needs to pray. It's right on the edge of the road. They may just want to come by and kneel down and pray. I don't have to know if they're there. I don't have to know nothing about them. But they just may need a place to pray. You know what I'm saying? It's on the right of way of the road. If you measure over, it'd be perfect. So Sunday morning after service, brother come to me and he said, let me tell you what happened. I said, what's that? He said, I was going to build a porch for somebody. And he said, I put in the GPS to go to where I need to go. And every time, he said, I didn't know where you live, but every time that GPS would take me right to that cross in your front yard. Ask my wife, she'll tell you. That's not false. That's not trying to deceive somebody. That's not trying to destroy them or trick them or anything. That's just the cross there. You know what the cross does? It draws. The cross draws people in. It draws them. He said he put it in the GPS. It kept taking him right back to that same address. He said finally he just, man, I don't know what. He said he just got out and prayed. Where he was supposed to go was behind my house. You go right down and go behind, back off in there. But it led him to the cross. See, he looked up and he seen the sign that said Mills Hill up there. We still ain't got Ryder on that sign, but we're going to get him on there. So why'd you put that there, preacher? because I don't want to be a false preacher or a false prophet. I don't want to preach here and you come to my house and not see a Christian flag flying. I don't want you to come to my house and not see a cross in the yard. I don't want you to come to my house and not see a Bible laid on the end table. Can I get amen? I don't want you to come to my house and see it cluttered up with the things of this world and not the things of Christ. You never know who's watching you. Don't be a false prophet. Don't be a fake prophet. You just be a child of God and let Him lead you. Man, when he told me that Sunday, I walked out of here, I said, I know why we put it down there now. The one I did have was up on the hill up higher. And we moved it all the way down there by the road. Tonight, I don't know what you've got going on, but you keep doing this right here. You keep following Christ. You keep following Him step for step, doing exactly what He's called you to do. If you've heard something you didn't need to hear, you close your ears to it this week. Cut it off. Get away from it. If you've seen something this week and you said, I wished I wouldn't, get away from it. If you've said something to somebody and you need to make it right, make it right. Make it right. Because what you've got, the world needs. They need Jesus. And it's all inside of us tonight. He's all inside of us. Amen. Father, I love you. I thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for this congregation. Lord, I thank you for the cross. Lord, I thank you tonight that even though Satan's counterfeit, he may be slick and he may be sly and he may old sliver around, but Father, the blood of Jesus, he can't do nothing with it. That blood, he can't do nothing with it. Father, every time he tries to come against that bloodline, he loses and he knows it tonight. And he knows he's hellbound. There's nothing in the world he can do. He is hellbound tonight. I don't like him. I don't love him. I have nothing to do with him. I denounce Satan in the name of Jesus. And Lord, tonight I pray you bless everybody in this room. Anything coming against them this week that's false, that's not lined up with you, I pray it be moved in the name of Jesus. And I pray a hedge of protection around everybody that heard this word tonight, that they look and see that he's trying to deceive and to destroy and to do these things, and we stay away from him and we don't even give him no way in our family or in our lives. And Lord, tonight, I thank you for this local body church. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you that you're still saving people. I thank you for that tonight. Bless in a mighty, mighty way. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name I ask and I do pray, and all of God's people say it. Amen.